All right, so welcome back. I'm surprised you guys actually stuck around for episode 3 of the Habibi Show. I am Hector Garcia with yours truly, the Habibi.
Samer Nassar.
It is episode 3, Habibi.
I'm so excited.
Can you believe it? We made it this far?
It's like a dream come true.
It is. But
really, thank you.
We made it this far. We haven't got censored.
We lost so many friends already.
I've been blocked. I had 1,500 friends on Facebook. It's now down to 50. So we're doing something right.
We're going the right direction. Right. Eventually, it's going to be the two of us and Justin.
And by the way, props to our boy in our production, Justin, for our producer. You'll be hearing us refer to him quite a bit. But Justin, behind the scenes, is our producer. Done quite a great job these first two episodes.
Thank you, Justin.
Yes. And then, of course, you know, again, you guys are listening. You're watching us. I saw there's been hundreds of people that's already been tuning in.
I know.
The stats, there people are tuning in. So the numbers continue to grow. So if you're watching, you're subscribed. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Habibi Show. So this week is episode 3. We want to talk about your Liverpool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Experience. Yeah. That was pretty cool. We're also going to be talking about the some regrets that we have in business. And there's a lot.
There's only a lot. Only business or life?
Let's talk about business, because I think life, that's life a whole... That's so 100. Sad.
That would be very sad.
It's called the Suicide Show. That's a whole other episode.
It needs some country music.
Right. Let's talk about your Liverpool. You just got back, what day?
I got back Tuesday. What is today?
Today's Monday.
Monday. Okay, so it was last Tuesday I got back. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing trip, really. I mean, it went by so fast. I was there for about a week.
Yeah.
Or maybe 8 days, but it went by so fast. It was like a dream come true. Being in London, which I've been there.
And you were there for a few days.
Last time I was in London, it was like maybe 10, 12 years ago. But it was under different circumstances. It wasn't like about game or fun. It was just something.
Okay.
And
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that would be part of the life regrets. So, but... And then went to Liverpool.
For the soccer game,
I took the train, which I've never taken a train in England before. Train was amazing, really. Mm-hmm. And went to Liverpool, which is a port. It was amazing, really.
Yeah,
I loved Liverpool. Like, I really want to go stay a few more days.
In Liverpool?
Yes.
What's the size of Liverpool? It's like,
it's probably like maybe the size of, I don't know, but it's not very big.
Right.
It didn't seem congested at all.
Right.
So there was no like rush hour. People were so friendly. Mm. You know, it's like country. It was a country feel. I mean, obviously the Beatles.
Yeah. How do you like the food over there? Do you eat fish and chips? Is that's popular?
You know,
right?
I tried, but I was I was more attracted to Indian food. Well, I mean, apparently in England, London,
yes.
Indian food is really, really popular.
Right.
And but no, I didn't. There was a fish and chips place, more like fast food.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to do that.
So fish and chips, but some of
the restaurants were amazing.
Okay.
No, some restaurants. But most, and I had some videos on Instagram from the pubs.
Right.
People were so friendly.
And they drink all the time there, don't they?
They drink. They get drunk. Boys, girls.
Yeah.
After a while, everybody's hugging and singing. And it's
That's
you
quite
feel
an experience.
Like there's no... They don't have any ill feelings about anybody.
Right.
So.
So, I mean, you're an international man of mystery.
It's not a mystery anymore. It's on the third episode of. Now everybody knows what I'm doing. I'm pissing off some people.
Hammer powers over there. But obviously you met some interesting people.
Yes. There was a lot of people from America.
Okay.
From Canada that just flew to see the game.
Uh-huh.
I went to see the Liverpool and Manchester City game. I love soccer, but I can tell you this. I did not really pay much attention to the game because the whole thing was overwhelming.
Right.
Like the stadium, and I hope maybe we can put
a video
picture of the stadium.
Can,
The stadium, it's so manicured to be like so... Like I feel like the players were floating on the grass from how beautiful the grass was.
Wow.
And the colors, the flags, the people, the singing. So I really got so distracted by trying to absorb
so anything. So did you even figure out who won or who lost?
Well, every time they sing and I miss the goal, and I was like sitting there like, man. When I'm at home, I don't miss a play. Yeah. But there, I mean, but for sure, I will go again. But you're coming with me.
Yes.
You're coming with me.
I'll definitely go next time.
Yes. And they don't speak Spanish. They don't speak Spanish. They don't. So you're going to be fine.
That's perfect.
No, but it was really amazing experience. People, even the police officer. I don't know if I didn't think I sent you that picture. There was a police officer.
No, you sent me another picture. I didn't.
No, with the handcuffs? No, that was for fun. No, but there was the police officer, a lady. She was so cute, and I was like, and they look very serious. So I walked up to her and said, I am so sorry, but you're like the prettiest police officer I've ever seen. And then started laughing. And the other police officer, the other guy, he was so friendly. Said, hey, would you like me to take your picture together? Look, she's blushing. I mean, we had a great time with these police officers.
Right.
No, it was a trip of a lifetime from everything. Two things I didn't really, I wish was different. The weather, it was cold and windy and rainy.
I can't stand cold weather.
You can't hide from
cold weather.
Wind, really. You know, if it's just cold and sunny, okay, but it was windy.
Wind, yeah.
And the jet lag. I mean, the difference in time, like at 3 o'clock in the morning over there, it's 5 p.m. here. I'm wide awake. I'm ready to have lunch. So, you know.
Right.
And then by 8 in the morning, I'm very tired because that's like 2 or 3 in the morning here.
Right.
But beside that, really, it was, I mean,
how long did it take you to when you landed off jet lag, how long did it take you to get out of that system?
I never got used to it.
Never got used to it?
No, but I did that on purpose.
Were you tired the whole time?
Well, I mean, you know, a couple of vodka, a couple of gin.
Catches you up pretty quick.
Coffee. I drank so much coffee. I don't normally drink that much coffee. But no, I didn't want to miss a moment.
What did you have for breakfast?
Well, I thought of you.
I'm sure.
I had chilaquiles.
No, you didn't.
I had not.
Chilaquiles.
Not in England. No, they have
those
big
old bratwurst. Those things.
I think that's Germany. Yeah. No, but they have like eggs and muffins and beans.
Oh, beans. That's right. They do beans
in the morning.
Yeah. Yes.
It didn't smell very good.
It doesn't sound good.
I mean, it was good.
Well, I mean, I guess we have beans in Mexican culture. We have beans for breakfast. But
really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, you the never beans have, I eat is sweet.
Chilaquiles, you have beans in it.
I didn't know.
Yeah, or do you have beans on the side?
I thought there was Mexican oysters. I didn't know. No, but actually, one interesting thing happened. Well, but this is one thing that I was really surprised. I was in an area called Soho.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if somebody...
I've heard about it.
Yeah, London, these different areas like Piccadilly, Trafalgar Square. And Soho is an area that was really bad and it has been like updated and it's really a big tourist area. So it was like 2 in the morning and I'm sitting by outside a Turkish... They love Turkish restaurants or fast food restaurant, Turkish doner. Are you familiar with what's a doner?
No.
Not doner. Doner is like a Turkish... food, and it became German.
Is it kind of like that place we went to last time in the Galleria in Post Oak?
Huh?
Was that is it a Turkish restaurant we went to?
Yeah.
What was that? What was that food we ate? What was that?
We did. You and I went.
We did.
Turkish restaurant.
We went to some restaurant, and I thought it was Turkish.
I have no idea. That was not me.
That was. Habibi, that was you. Yes.
So I'm standing there in Soho, which is like bars and bars and bars, very tourist area. And I was wearing a long coat with big pockets because, you know, and I had my phone there. And all of a sudden, I feel a hand inside my pocket.
Uh-oh.
Did I tell you?
You did not tell me that story.
I felt a like very light feeling of a hand in my pocket, but he did not know that I was a karate champion.
Oh, okay.
So, involuntarily, I just read all the karate I learned came back.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I was a fourth degree black belt, just in case somebody needs to hire a bodyguard.
Bruce Lee.
No, Samerly.
Samerly.
So I just grabbed his hands, and involuntarily, I turn around with the other hand and punch him in the face. So hard.
Really?
I didn't know who was behind
me.
There was somebody behind me. I didn't know what they're doing, but I grabbed his hands.
You turn around and pop him right in the face.
Absolutely. I didn't know who's behind me. I just went like this.
That poor lady. She was 80 years old.
Yeah, but she was trying to steal my... She was trying to steal my phone. No, it was two young kids.
Really?
They were like in their 20s. And of course, it was like a surprise to them.
That you actually fought back.
That I grabbed, he's trying to get away, and I held his hand and I hit him.
Good job.
And he just ran away, and everybody's like, whoa, what just happened? Yeah. Usually people, you know, just don't react that way, right. I guess. But it was, and then you find out that this happens a lot. So if anybody go into those tourist areas in
Soho
or any other, because I found out that it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Just make sure you put your phone in the front pocket. Make sure you put your wallet inside your jacket or in the front.
Yeah,
just
I put keep my wallet it in front of you. In the front pocket. I never put
it's
it
just
back.
Not comfortable. Mm-hmm. But that's what I did since I was there. But it was exciting. Adrenaline was, and the Turkish restaurant gave me the food for free. They said, "Oh, no problem. You can have it for free." And so it was really nice.
It's probably one of the relatives.
No. So, you know, from now on, let's plan to do this everywhere we go. We'll get free food. Like, we get Justin.
Justin a pickpocket? You act like you slap him.
Yeah, we act like slap him. No, it was an amazing trip, really. I'm so, so glad I did it. I can't wait.
Did you get homesick, though? Were you ready to come home? Or?
I was ready to go to my Houston.
Yes.
The hot. I kept imagining Egypt. Hot weather. No, Houston. I was ready to go. Even though it was not too far from Egypt, but no, I was really looking forward to come back to Houston, the weather, the friends, the family. But I will definitely go again.
Yeah, and along the way, while you're there, of course, you talked to quite a few.
Yes, and I did some live interviews, and he was making fun of me, saying, "Hold the phone vertically, dude." I knew what I'm doing.
You had the phone like this.
I know.
Like, no, you were doing a live broadcast, and you were like this with the phone. You were like this, and I was like, and you know, for me, I'm like
this. I know. I'm learning. I'm sorry. Thank you for teaching me the secrets of the business. But no, it was really, really nice. I was really.
But who won the game?
1-1. They tied.
They tied. Okay.
Yeah. But I was really, really happily surprised and impressed by how friendly the British people are.
Even in London.
Even in London.
Really.
Even in London. I mean, they are
can
not
you talk
as.
English?
Who me?
You, yeah. Can you talk in English proper English?
I found myself
how do
saying.
You call that? What do you call
British?
You call it British?
I think so.
Is this if you're from?
Are you asking me if I can speak English? What am I doing now, Justin? Do you understand what I'm saying?
In my life, but
do you know what I'm saying?
No.
Más o menos.
No, but if somebody's from England, do you ask them? Do you speak British or do they speak English?
I mean, they were asking me if I spoke English. I didn't ask anybody if they speak English. No, but I tell you what, Liverpool, I did not understand a word.
Because
like I kept saying, I'm
English
sorry. British. British accent.
British?
British accent.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, British accent.
Okay. If you're watching on YouTube, please comment below. Is it British or English?
It is a British accent.
Okay. Your British accent.
Yeah. And they don't say Liverpool. They say Liverpool.
Liverpool?
Liverpool. So I was.
Liverpool.
Liverpool. Yeah. And I was talking to the cab driver and we're talking and he said something. I was like, I'm sorry. What? He said, I said, I am so sorry. I because I really couldn't even figure it out. Finally, I said, just say it slow. He said, I'm just saying good morning. I was like, what? This is good morning? Okay. But I tell you something else too. If you're going to London or England, but especially London, make sure when you exchange dollars to go to more than one place. Because to more than one place to change to dollars, to sterling pounds. Because I went to one, okay, I give them like $1,000. They give me £560. I was like, wow, that's great. And next door, I said, well, let me go ask. It was going to give me 760, £200 more.
Wow.
So if you go, just go to more than one, at least go to three places. Ask, much is that?
That doesn't sound too friendly.
Well, okay, the one that gave me $200 less was not British. I'm not going to say the nationality because I don't want anybody to get sensitive, but it was like Becker's Brooklyn, you know. I don't know if anybody heard me saying that, but
that sounds
British, really, and he was so friendly.
He sounded British.
He was so friendly, and I was like trusting him, and I said, true, and right next door, it was £200 extra.
Wow.
So, but in any case, just go to more than at least three and they're all next to each other. And say, how much is $1,000? And they'll tell you.
Okay, what's the best thing that happened there?
The game. I mean, being at the game. Not the actual game, mm-hmm. but seeing the family's traditions.
Right.
Like I saw some guy like 80 years old
with the kids,
taking his great-grandson, who was like 5-6 years old, and he's telling him about all these players and what used to be on that land.
Yes.
And it's just the family
tradition.
That's how I feel
when I take my kids to the Energy Stadium, when I see the Astrodome
exactly.
next year. And the Astrodome, I'm talking to my boys and say, hey, I used to go to watch the Oilers, yes. the Astros, and that stadium.
Going to Liverpool is a very old city. Mm-hmm. And you see, like, traditions. They're, like, diehard fans just because it's Liverpool.
Right.
It's their town.
Yeah.
No, I was really impressed.
Well, good, brother. Yes. I'm glad you're back. And now we get back to our podcast.
Yes.
And we'll show some videos too as well in the podcast for your Liverpool experience.
Yes, especially that there was a little kid that I talked to him.
Yeah.
And he was with his dad. And then I was so touched that this tradition. And then I find out that they're from Texas. They were from Houston, and I thought they were like British, but they were from San Antonio. I was like, dude, what? No, but it was really cool.
Of all the people you've interviewed, Americans.
Did you see the people from Malta? I did.
I don't remember.
And then there was the youngest fan. He was 2 weeks old.
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
There was a couple of lives there. I don't remember, and I don't remember which one you.
No, it was messed up. It was like vertical, horizontal.
I was like,
I didn't know how to do this.
I was getting a little dizzy.
Dude, I was cold. It was very cold. I was freezing.
You were doing.
I apologize for my friend's behavior.
No, well, I'm glad you're back.
Thank
we get back into our podcast and get
podcast.
Back into the podcast. And
into the serious.
The serious stuff. Okay, so you are here and you're watching. You're whether you're in Houston, Texas, or you're in San Antonio. If you're in London and you're looking for a top class, top of the line transportation company that's going to get you from point A to point B, whether it's going to a business meeting or a conference, do not call Uber. Don't call Uber. Don't do it.
It's not safe.
It's not safe. Don't call Uber. I mean, a lot of crazy things happen with Uber drivers or ride shares. And don't call a taxi. They'll just, not to knock the guys who are working in taxi cab drivers, but man, there is a great company out there, and that company is Excelsior Transportation. They've been serving Houston since 1992. And they're phenomenal. I personally use Excelsior Transportation. I will tell you that I will put my own kids by themselves in a Excelsior Transportation car to get a point A to point B if my wife or somebody can't get them out for some reason. But I've done that before, actually.
Yeah.
I've taken Excelsior to drop my kids off somewhere.
We still don't know where they are.
They're missing somewhere. but they are highly trusted. Look at their Google reviews. They're incredible. Samer has done a phenomenal job building that empire there.
And Anis, too. My ex-business partner.
Yes, and Anis as well.
Retired now in Mexico.
Yes, he's living the dream there in Mexico. But if you're looking for a transportation company, one that's going to get you from point A to point B, in class, in style, and safe, go to ExcelsiorLimo.com, and they will take care of you. One of the things that we wanted to talk about in today's show or today's episode, because there's a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to us and business owners that listen to us or people who are looking to get into entrepreneurs, and there's a lot to learn from us. A lot to learn from me because
from
as far
our
as
mistakes.
I make a lot of mistakes.
Yes, or Justin, some good decisions too.
Justin, as disappointing as it sounds, who's been my employee for 7 years, I make a lot of mistakes.
That's illegal. You were like, what, 13?
No, Justin's 30.
He can only work 2 hours
He's 30,
a week.
Though.
Huh?
He's 30.
No way.
Yeah. He's 30 years old.
He looks 33.
He's a
No, he looks younger.
Dirty 30. But no, Justin's 30 years old. He's been with me for seven years. And,
yes.
But
loyalty is so valuable in business.
It's rare.
Yes.
It's so rare.
It's either loyalty or desperation. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Right. I had a situation that came about last week. And you know, I was going to ask you for advice, and now that we have this show, and maybe, you know, this is the platform to do it. And because, you know, I've in my business, I've come across a lot of people and developed a lot of friendships, close friendships, and people that I would consider either some brothers, some sisters, and some mentors. You know, and about a year ago, I had a close friend of mine hire us to help them market their business. I won't mention any names or anything like that, but help market their business. Well, the problem with marketing, and I run a marketing business and a marketing agency, and I've been doing this for marketing for 25 years, and I've ran this company for 12 years. In the last 5-7 years, marketing has kind of exploded in terms of everybody thinks that marketing is the cool thing to do. Everybody thinks they're the marketing experts. And that's kind of like everybody wants to start a marketing business. Either they run around with the camera and they think they're the marketing genius. Yeah. And so we've dealt with that over the last 12 years in running business, is that, you know, we've not only Hector has established of all these years of experience, but now we also have all these newbies who think they know it all. Now, some of them probably are pretty legit. You know, yeah, you're gonna have out of 100, you're gonna have a handful. Yeah, they have fresh ideas.
Yes.
You know. However, my friend met some other guy at some conference about 4 or 5 months ago, and this youngster decided that, you know, I guess came out, spit out all this stuff, and to put in his ear and his mind, and so. My friend, you know, decided that he was going to part ways with us and no longer work with us. And I had no problem with that. I'd rather a friend move on, and I was okay with a friend kind of moving on and going to another, you know, marketing agency. And you're gonna say, okay, you don't feel like we're valued to you? That's fine. There's a mutual thing there that I had that said, okay, I completely respect that. We're not going to be the best for everybody. And so last week I was at a business meeting. And during that time, one of my staff members texted me saying that they were in a conference call with my friend and that new guy, the new marketing genius that this guy had hired, not even local, this guy's another state. And this guy was telling my employee saying that we were trying to screw them over in the process of and so, you know, and my friend is also on the Zoom call. And so I was pretty upset. I was obviously very disappointed when that, I was like, you know, the fact that, you know, okay, I had no problem with the client, the friend moving on, and it was a client, move on, fine, that's fine, it happens. You win some, you lose some, that happens, part of life. And so the friend, you know, I told my staff member, hey, put me onto that Zoom call, because that's pretty disrespectful.
Yeah.
Even if it's not even a friend, you know, I don't have clients that come to us and say and walk away feeling that they've gotten screwed over. And if that's the case, I want to set the record straight. And why do you think that's that?
You want to learn from
it. I want to learn. I say, why do you feel that way? So anyways, the staff member puts me in the Zoom call. I left the meeting, got into my car, and got in a Zoom call. And I said, hey, there was some confusion or some type of understanding that you guys need to understand that we're trying to screw you guys over. And of course, Mr. Know-It-All, the marketing expert, comes in and says, I said, hey, listen, you know, this is our process. This is what it's been for years. And this is the way it is. It's optional. You don't have to take it. Nobody's taking it. And I said, if there was, you know, if we wanted to screw you, we would have done it much different ways from this. This is not worth some saying that's, you know, whatever, we're screwing you over. Well, my friend decides to jump in that call and says, hey, let's get feelings out the way. But just letting you know, I feel the same way. So I was just quiet, and I hung up I didn't hang up. I just listened to make sure nothing else, you know, out of line was going out of line in the meeting. And then then my friend called me, and I was already upset because obviously my friend didn't stand up for me. In fact, he agreed with it. And I thought this was kind of a lousy move by him, right? And I didn't feel that was right. And the fact that I even called him a friend.
Yeah.
I was even questioning all that.
Like a stab in the back.
Stab in the back. Yeah. Absolutely. And so he kept calling and blowing my phone up after that. And I wasn't going to answer because I didn't want to say anything further. I don't want to say anything out of line that was going to destroy further that relationship that I had. And I just said, hey, once we're done with this account, once we're all completely off-boarded with your account, I want to, we'll talk about it then. But until then, let's just leave it as is, and I don't want to deal with it. Well, he texted me later that night saying, hey, I'm sorry about the negative tone. Sorry about the negative tone. And I respond back, it wasn't the negative tone. It was just flat out disrespectful.
Yeah.
Respectful to my staff and disrespectful to me and my integrity. So in that case, ever since then, I just kind of like, man, I don't, you know, in that case, in that situation, how would you have handled that situation if a friend came up to you and say, Excelsior Transportation is trying to screw me over? And that's a friend. How would you have handled that or handled it any differently?
I mean, like privately or
publicly? Privately. How should I handle this going forward?
Well, of course, I'm aware of what you did.
Yes.
So that makes it a little bit difficult to come up with other ideas because I like the way you did it.
Right.
And also I like the way they went on even further with more legal action and you stood up to it and I'm very proud of you.
Right.
How would I handle it? I mean, I will distance myself as much as possible, if not totally,
right,
from that kind of personality, that kind of so-called friend.
Right.
And I will really have no regret that I was good to you and you were not good to me. That's on you.
Yeah, you know.
And I was just distancing myself from that situation, and that's it.
And that's the thing is, you know, me and you are both nice people. You know, when you said, well, you know,
I know
you're
I'm
a whole
nice.
Lot more nicer than me.
I know I'm nice.
I feel like in business, because I'm a nice person,
yes,
that people take advantage of that. Do you get that a lot?
Of course, but not just business, life,
yeah,
relationship, even within the same family. But I've always lived with one idea I learned from my parents, that you do what you think is right. Mm-hmm. What somebody else does with it, that's on them. Mm. Like I remember, and you and I talked about this, my mother used to say, you know, we lived in Alexandria, right across from the Mediterranean, so the waves, everything is related to water and waves.
Right.
And she used to say, when you do something good, it's like you throw it in the water. The waves will take it away. Sometimes it could come back, and most of the time it will never come back.
Right.
If you're doing something nice just to get something back, then it's the wrong intentions. You do it, forget about it, move on. If it comes back, great. If it doesn't, still great.
Yeah.
It's not on you that somebody mistreated you. It's not on you. The only thing that will be on you if you allow them to do it again.
Right.
But that's if good. It just happens and you learn from it and you give them 100% trust, that's not on you.
Right.
You're you. We cannot change who we are because other people are not good. Then I'm losing myself too. I'm losing who I am.
Right.
So, you know, but it makes you stronger. And I was just talking with somebody yesterday and I was saying, you know, in life, I learned what's important. It's not learning what we want. It's learning what we don't want.
Right.
Because if you ask anybody now, what do you want in life? They will have a list of 20 million things. But if you ask them, what don't you want? Most likely they have no answer. Mm. So I realize we need to learn what we don't want.
Yeah, I don't want drama.
Exactly.
I had enough drama in my life.
Or you try something and it doesn't work. You know, like for example, you hire someone. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Justin. That's going to be about you. You hire someone and you realize this is not really what you wanted.
Right.
But you see, it's not what you want, it's what you don't want. Mm. You will never hire somebody like Justin again.
Right. You know? Just an example.
You know, it's just an example, of course. Yes. So you will never, it's the same thing with relationship. You date somebody or you marry and then it doesn't work out. And you learn really well what is it that didn't work and what you don't want. Next relationship, as soon as you see a slight resemblance, you're going to run.
Right.
Because you know that's not what you want. Mm. So, you know, at the end of the day, we go from point A to point B. And I'm saying point A when we're born, point E when we're reborn somewhere else.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're all going to get to B, whether we like it or not. We're going to go from A to B or Z. We're all going to get there. The point is, how do you feel about yourself?
Sure.
That's really the biggest maybe success. How do you feel? Do you feel like you're a good person?
Yeah.
Not what every not what everybody else feels. How do you feel about yourself?
Yeah, well, you know, like this specific friend, you know, so-called friend, you know, on his, you know, he was telling us that, you know, they're having some more they have major internal issues at their business. They're not answering the phones. They're not literally. I can see on the call report that they have out of 10 phone calls, 80% of them are unanswered.
Yes.
So 80% unanswered phone calls.
Can see that?
Huh?
You still can see their records?
Yes. Oh, no, not no more. But I mean, as of today, I can't. But I could during when we were doing marketing for them.
Yes.
And so we were delivering all these leads and getting the phones to ring. And they found an issue that it wasn't the phones. It wasn't nobody answering the phones. I'm like, literally, marketing 101. You don't need some guy in another state, some marketing genius to pay X amount of money. It doesn't take a genius to figure out. Answer your damn phones.
Yes.
And that's really it. Well, you know, if you can't answer the phones, you have no business marketing.
Well, people look at you and they think it's easy. We make it look easy.
Justin, don't I say that a lot? With Mark, yes. I said we make it look
exactly,
easy.
Exactly, because you're good at it, you're successful, and you hire people and say, oh my God, how much money you're making. I'm making him this money. He's not doing anything.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do it on my own.
They don't.
And then they realize, it's not that easy.
It's not easy at all. It's not. It's a very difficult. We have we have an old machine here.
Yes.
It's taken years of process, years of mistakes. Years of regrets, years of mistakes, a lot of failures to get where we are today. And the thing is, beauty behind all that is that it's a blessing and a curse is that we make it look easy.
Well,
and so when they say, well, man, I pay because our premium rates, by the way, our prices here at Brand Nation to hire us is $5,000 a month. That is our base price just to pay for us. And, you know, and all that, we're doing SEO, we're doing call tracking, we're doing pay-per-click, we're doing social media.
Yes.
Everything that a client or business needs in marketing, we're providing those services to other businesses.
Yes.
And people are also keep in mind that what happens when inflation happens?
That's right.
What happens when there's inflation? Right. People like Justin wants a raise, right? So when people want raises, what happens? Our prices have to go up.
That's right.
If, you know, if the cost of gasoline goes up, then prices at Excelsior goes up. So, you know, what was, you know, half the price 4 or 5 years ago is much different today because everything else is gone up. And the cost of just managing stuff is different. So, you know, when this client went offboarding, I told, you know, because he was a friend, I had told my staff member, I said, hey, you know what? He gave us 30 days notice. Just don't charge him. Just charge him half for the next 30 days. And let's just call it a day.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. So I'm sitting there. I was in a meeting with another. It was really weird. This is really weird. I was in a meeting with another client or a new client, a sales meeting. And literally while I'm there, she's a teacher. She started a business. And she was telling me, Hector, I have two jobs. I'm a full-time teacher. And then I come to the storefront and I can't afford marketing services. But I need it. And so I said, you know what? We're going to do it for half the price, at least for the first 3 months, just to get you on your feet. We're going to get you going. And I'm not kidding, Sandra. She was bawling, crying.
Yeah.
She was in tears crying. And then literally I got a text from my staff member here at the office says, this other client thinks you're screwing them over. I'm like, I'm over here. This girl's over crying because you cannot make everybody happy. Yes.
Well, it's not your job
to
make anybody happy.
Right.
Not even one.
Right.
You just do the right thing. It's going to make some people happy. It's going to not matter. Like I always tell them at the office, you know, I don't know if that's related or not, but talking about how other people react. Mm-hmm. So I tell them, if I'm gone tomorrow, if I die tomorrow, what do you think is going to happen? Mm. Some people are going to be sad.
Yeah.
Some people will be actually happy.
Right.
And some is not going to matter. So life goes on. And you just do you. You do what you believe. Some people will like, some people will not like, some people will not care. And that's it. When you're in business and you're hiring a new employee, or you're renting a new space, or you're buying a new software, you want the best. none of that will be out there presented to the public without good marketing. And honestly, I don't know much about how this SEO or ESO or OES.
E-T.
No, I know it's like the SEO, the search engine.
Optimization.
Thank you. Yes. Really, within few months from the moment we met with Hector and his staff, within few months, much faster than I thought, we saw our place in Google just going up. We used to be like page 19. Or maybe, I don't know. And then within few months, we're in page 3. And then another month, page 2, page 1. And we really saw an increase of like 25 to 30% in our business. We were able to get new accounts, accounts that's nationwide, globally. But also we're able to improve our prices.
Right.
Because now we have more demand. So having the right... fit or the right presentation of who we are, please call Brand Nation. They do an amazing job. Really.
And really, that job was kind of really easy, Habibi, because it's really because of you. You know, you ever seen that picture of Burt Reynolds when he's naked like this? We just put that on the front of the website.
That was Biden. Biden. That was
not Burt. Of course, all the phone calls are coming in, Habibi. So if you want to,
yeah, if you want the Burt, if you want to have a good time,
if you want the Burt Reynolds treatment.
But seriously, Brand Nation, thank you guys. Thank you. You brought us up to the year 2020 after we were still operating like if it's 1995, 1996.
You guys
really thank.
Yeah, you guys, when I walked in, you guys are still on typewriters.
We used to send telex and telegrams.
He's the pigeon. But if you want a marketing company, that's what it gets you to today.
Really, yeah.
Let's get you out of the old age and out of the dark ages. Let's get you into the new age.
And it's not only in Houston.
No, you guys are...
They're also in Mexico now. And hopefully sometime soon, like maybe...
San Antonio, yeah.
Oh, okay. Are you planning Canada, Europe?
Oh, yeah. We'll be London.
Okay.
London.
Liverpool.
Okay. Liverpool. If you want that international treatment and if you want to be taken care of, call Brand Nation 713-999-4661. If you want to be like Burt Reynolds right here, 713-999-4661. Let's get those business. Let's get those phones ringing for you. You know, one thing I think I learned in business too is, and the biggest regrets in business is that... I wish in business, even though I love the relationships I have today, I wish that along the way, one of my biggest regrets is not getting so close to people. I think that there is a, because sometimes I trust the wrong people.
Many times you trusted the right people?
Yeah, I think I might have a bad taste, a bad judgment.
You trusted a lot of good people too.
Yes.
Can you imagine if you didn't trust anybody?
Yeah.
That's not going to work either.
Right. And I've gone through some traumatic experiences here in business as well. But, you know, along the way, I've learned that maybe out of the five people that I've learned to develop the relationship, two of them were excellent and there were...
You know what? Brother, that's not a bad trait.
That's not a bad... You're right. That's good.
If you talk to five, two are great, you're very lucky.
Wow.
Because many times you talk to five and zero is good.
Yeah.
So if you have two out of five, that's very good.
Yeah. I mean, what are some situations at Excelsior? I know a few months back, we were in Cozumel, and you're talking about a situation where an employee, somebody that you had trusted.
Yes, this employee. And again, this is something that probably happened to a lot of new business. Mm-hmm. When you're growing so fast, you overlook... common sense. You overlook what you believe because you can't handle the demand and you say it's okay. I know it's not right, but let me do it. So for example, when we started Excelsior, I'm so glad, thank you God, that we got busy immediately.
Right.
But it was hard to catch up.
Right.
Like they call it what? The
infrastructure.
Growing pains, right? Which every new business go through.
Yes.
So we really liked the drivers that worked long hours. and worked like 20 hours a day because we didn't have enough cars, we didn't have enough drivers. And there was that one driver, his name is Atul. He's no longer he's not in America anyway. But Atul was the, at the time, I thought that was the perfect driver because we call him anytime during the day, Atul, can you do this? Sure, no problem. And at the time, we did not have like a fleet manager. We're just trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. So I used to get calls from clients saying, oh, by the way, the AC is not working. So we call Atul, Atul, your car. Oh, no, I'll fix it, no problem. To make the long story short, he started also making some inappropriate remarks to one of the secretaries.
Sure.
And this is when we said, no, no matter how good he is,
you
he needs to go.
Right.
So when we fired him, he told, I wasn't at the office, but my business partner at the time, he told him, I'm going to take you down. And that was it. Mm. 3 months later, at the time, I used to answer the phone on the weekend, rotate. Mm-hmm. One weekend I do, the other weekend my business partner.
Right.
So that was my weekend. I was very lucky, I guess. So on maybe Saturday morning, I get a phone call. Yeah, I would like to make a reservation. This is so-and-so with this oil and gas company, our biggest account, starting. And after he gave me the information, he said, by the way, what else do you offer? I was like, well, we have vans, we have SUVs, we have limousines. He said, no, no, what other services do you offer? I said, sir, I'm not really sure what you mean. He said, don't you offer girls? I said, no. He said, well, anyway, let me tell you who I am. I'm the vice president of
ABC
the law department, right, and the legal department. I'm the lawyer, wow, for this company. Are you Samir? Which, by the way, my name is Samer, not Samir. I didn't like Samir.
Right.
So anyway, so I knew it's somebody I don't know. And he said, well, I got a letter. I received a letter at home with your name and signature and pornographic pictures saying, please come try Excelsior new service. We provide these best girls. And I was like, what? He said, well, I know you people. That was a long time ago. He said, I know you people. I will make sure you'll, wow, be prosecuted and go. My wife and daughter opened that envelope. And something clicked. I said, sir, do you think if I want to solicit this kind of service, I will send you a letter at home? I will just have the driver talk to you in the car.
That's so evil.
So, of course, that was, yeah, the first call. Guys, I promise you, in this weekend, I received over 200 calls. Most of them were angry. Some of them were like, hey, man, how much? I was like, sir, we don't do that. We don't provide those kind of service. Anyway.
So basically, it was a promotion that you started an escort service.
Exactly. With, wow, pictures and my name and signature. And some of them were my business partner, name and signature. So that's, so far, I don't know anything about
that
nothing.
That is insane.
Like, I'm wondering what, yeah, happened. So Monday morning, I contacted our attorney. And this is really the reason I'm, yeah, saying this, because you just have to do what's right.
Yeah.
Do what you know it's right, professional. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you have just to do it. So we contacted our attorney. He wrote a letter, because I expected hundreds more calls. Mm-hmm. He wrote a letter addressing all our clients that this is what's happening, it's investigation, and the name of the FBI agent, the postal police, because,
right,
as well, and also his name as the attorney for the company to refer all questions or any letters you receive, send them,
wow,
to him. Don't open it. Monday morning, I receive a call from the procurement manager for that biggest oil and gas company in the world that's here in Houston and,
right,
downtown. So anyway, he said, and this was like maybe in the first year of our business, very crucial time to grow.
Yeah.
So, and you don't want bad negativity or bad reputation. So he said, oh, the president of
the company,
this company,
yeah,
he wants to see you right now immediately because he also received a letter and you guys are in trouble. We're going to make sure to prosecute you. But he wants to talk to you. I was like, okay. So I went to their office. This guy that called me procurement manager,
sure,
He passed away. He was really a nice guy. Okay. Later on, we became friends. But he wouldn't even shake my hands.
Wow.
And I was walking to the second floor, and I can see people looking at me like I'm disgusted.
Right.
I'm disgusted.
Because only that,
you
could have brought so much trauma to their business.
Of course. And also, dirty. I'm promoting prostitution.
And escort services.
Yes. So they were looking at me like I'm something really dirty. I can feel it.
Sure.
And anyway, I walked outside the door, the office for the president. And the president of that company is a big, big deal, by the way.
That is.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I have to say his name because he was an angel. His name was John Aikett.
Okay.
So Mr. Aikett, this is like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
He came out and he said, "Sam, or my friend," because I used to drive him. So he knew me. He said, "My friend, did you just fire someone?" I was like, "Yes." He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I've been shot at before." And he came and hugged me.
Well, that's coming soon next to me.
And he hugged me. Justin, he put his arms around my neck. And he called the attorney that called me. He said, "I know you, Peter." He said, "Come here.
Yeah.
This is my friend. If he goes to court, you're going to go with him to defend him. And we, as a company, we're going to stand by him."
Wow.
Hector, I promise you, I was going to cry, honestly. Wow. Because I felt this is the end of our business.
Yeah.
We're just starting. This is the biggest account we were trying to acquire. The business tripled after this incident, because now the news traveled really fast that the president of the company is friends with Excelsior. So even the ones that were not using us start using us.
Wow.
The moral of the story, do what's right. You never know what happened. Mm. Another story, though, I was also, at the time I was driving, and it was another company, and this is all new stuff. It's very important to show who you are or how good your company is. So anyway, due to some error, the reservation was put on a date, and it was supposed to be the date before. So Sunday afternoon, I was going home, tired, hot. Yeah. And I was like, "That's it." And then my business partner at the time called me and said, "Hey, did you pick up Mr. James Muir? I love you, James." So he said, "Did you pick up Mr. Muir?" He was the first one to use us from that account. And he was like a guinea pig to try this new company. And I said, "Well, it was for Monday." He said, no, it was for Sunday. I guess somebody made a mistake. We don't know who." So I went to him. I was 30 minutes late. Or behind the time. It was 2:00. I was there at 2:30. Briar Forest and Highway 6 in that area. I will never forget it. This was like 31 years ago. And I went and I was sweating. It's hot and I'm embarrassed. The guy had the loudest voice I've ever heard in my life. And he was yelling, "You guys are idiot. I should have never tried you. Leave. I'm not letting you take me to the airport." His wife finally said, "Hey, listen, he's here. Let him take." He yelled at me. From that location all the way to Intercontinental, about 40 minutes, yelling at me. And all I'm saying, "Sir, I am so sorry. I will find out what happened. But right now, I just want to get you to your destination safe and as fast as possible, but safe." He yelled at me so loud, "You idiot. I'm going to make sure you'll never get another reservation." I go to the airport. I was so, of course, shook up. So I parked the car in front of Terminal C, and I run outside, and he was trying to pay. I said, "No, don't pay me. It's okay." And I ran outside to open the door. Apparently, from being so nervous, I put the car on reverse instead of park. So now I get out of the car. The car is driving by itself. Okay? The car driving by itself. The guy inside the car screaming, "You're going to kill me. I'm going to die. You guys are idiots." And then the car stopped because it hit the car behind it. So the whole thing was just a fiasco. At that moment, I looked up and I said, "God, if I'm not meant to be in this business, I totally get it. Just don't let me be humiliated like that."
Yeah.
Prior to this, I had a very good job. I was the regional director of sales for a big hotel chain. Right. So, and I go to him and I said, "Sir, if I were you, I would never use this again. This is really horrible service."
"No shit, I ain't."
The guy hugged me and he said, "Son, I am so sorry. I made you so nervous. I yelled at you for 45 minutes.
Wow.
Okay, I will not say a word when I go back to the office. you did good by not complaining, by not arguing with me when I was angry, and you drove safe, so I'm going to give you one more chance. But don't you ever be fucking late for me again.
And you can...
He stayed with us, and we got the whole account because of him. And the years go by, the guy retired and come work for us. Because he retired, he said, so again, one more time, don't panic when something bad happens.
Yes.
Don't panic, because bad things will happen in business. Don't panic.
That's definitely a surety.
Do follow, if there is a procedure, follow it. Do the right thing.
Right.
Don't come up like when somebody is angry telling you, you were late, even if you're not late, don't argue. At that moment, it's not going to be good to argue with the guy and say, well, sir, maybe your secretary messed up. And that's, by the way, that's what ended up to be the case.
Right.
But it's not the right time. Just shut up. Say, I'm sorry. I'll find out what happened. Mm. Don't give excuses. Don't lie. Don't make up stories. Just shut up. Shut up is the best policy at that moment. And when you have all the facts, you can go back and when everybody... So these are two stories I always share in our meetings just to let people know, look, you're going to make mistakes.
Right.
And some of it is out of your control. Some of it is because of what you did.
That's
just apologize and fix it.
No, that's inspiring, the story of the guy. I mean, both stories, but the, you know, the guy who's trying to sabotage your business and sabotage everything you've...
Oh, well, the police went to his apartment. Right. He was gone. He mailed over 600 letters from Intercontinental Airport as he was leaving the country. So
That is insane.
Yeah, because as a driver, he had the people's addresses.
Right.
But also, the other thing... Oh, I'm glad... would say that. The other thing I learned too, when you have an employee that wants to work that much, it's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. It's a red flag.
Why is that a red flag?
Because life must balance. If you take Justin and make him work 12, 15 hours every day.
He barely comes in an hour a week.
he's just well, that's why he looks very creative and rested. Right. He's doing a great job because only 1 hour a week. No, but you know what I mean? When you start a business, sometimes that growing pain or you're trying to meet the demands and you put so much pressure on everybody. Temporary is fine.
Yeah.
But if that's going to be your style to make people work too much, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Life must balance. That employee must go home and have a life.
Sure.
That employee must go home and enjoy their paycheck. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to work him to death and they cannot even enjoy their paycheck...
Right. That's good.
He's not going to be a good employee.
Well, yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, I've had situations where I took employees to Cozumel and go on workcations. And I feel like I got burned in those situations. And
well, that's on them.
Good. Right.
Okay, you took so many. Many of them appreciated.
Yes.
Justin was silly. Did you go
Justin,
to Cozumel?
Yeah, he's gone there twice, two of them, once.
Was that a good thing for you to go? Right, yeah. So... Yeah. He can speak English. He just, we just do science. But was that good?
He did this to me.
but you know, like I always know that when you grow in a business, you think the one that's gonna work the most is the best employee. That's not true. Life must balance.
That's true.
You must force people to take their vacations.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them overworked. Even if they're putting pressure on you, I need to make more money. And the other thing too for the business, don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. We had a driver that, you know, like any small businesses, you know, you become more like a banker for the employee. They say, oh, you know, I need an advance. And any small business go through that. I don't know
I've
if
gone
he goes
through that. Yes.
Yes. Oh, you know, the electricity, the water, my wife is sick, my husband is
I've
sick.
I've had the rent part. I
exactly.
had the car payment part.
And if you do it, you do it. If you have a policy not to do it, then just don't do it. But that specific driver, we helped him a lot as a company. He had a child custody case with his ex-wife that a lot of money, and we stood by him. And there was no problem or no rush for him to pay back. Anyway, a year later or two, actually his dad came and worked with us and his brother came and worked with us. So I think I'm not going to say his name, but anyway, yeah. Because now he has his own company. But anyway, so I think we did the right thing for him as a human being and as a good employee.
Sure.
Because he was a very good driver.
Right.
Took very good care of the car, took good care of the employees.
I had an employee a year ago that I loaned $8,000 because his car was in, $5,000. Let me get that record straight. $5,000 because his car was repoed.
Huh?
And I gave him $5,000. He ended up quitting 4 weeks after I gave him that.
Did he get his car back?
He got his car back. Did I get my money back?
No, you should go repo the car.
But anyways, that'll do it for today's show. Thank Any last words, Semmer?
You know, this is a great... I feel like when I come here, I meet anybody who's watching. I'm talking to my friends and family and just being great being with you guys.
No, likewise. I love Thank this. You. This is like my therapy session.
It is, really,
right?
Yes.
It's my therapeutic session with Samer. Yes. And you guys get to see it live, unfortunately, for Justin. He has to deal with it live.
He was falling asleep.
Yeah, he was.
He no. kept going like this. I don't know if there's a helicopter coming.
Or he was doing this. He threw the middle finger at me, and then he just called me crazy.
I thought he was saying you're number one.
But that'll do it for this week's show. Thank you for watching or listening to the Habibi Show. And again, if you're
I want to look at this camera.
Yeah, look at this camera here, Habibi.
Oh, okay.
If you're in business, looking to start in business, leave a comment below. Leave some comments or ask questions. I would love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear your feedback, and maybe we'll answer it next week.
Maybe we'll learn from you.
Yes. But this is the Habibi Show. Thank you, guys. Stay blessed. Habibi, you want to end it?
Love you all. Can't wait till next week to meet again.
God bless.